You're listening to Rosie on the House.
Our 8 o'clock hour, we invite you all to come on around back and join our outdoor living hour, where we talk all kinds of different things, outdoor in particular this week. We've got Jay Harper in. If you've got a question about your garden, trees, bushes, shrubs, whatever the case may be, anything you plant, grow, or don't want to grow outdoors, you can jump on the line and talk to Jay at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. In this hour, I think it's going to take up a pretty heavy turf team. We've got Brian Johnson, the athletic director from ASU. He's joined us in our 7 o'clock hour talking about getting the ASU field ready for the last 34 years for Saturday football. I thought, you know, this would probably be a pretty good time to talk turf. You've got a natural grass, Bermuda 419. I know. I learned that last hour. The actual breed that you grow on ASU Stadium, and he's going to join us this hour talking turf. We're not quite to the point yet. We're transitioning for Bermuda to rye. We've got a few more months of Bermuda, or weeks maybe.
Weeks, yeah, not months. A lot of golf courses have started the process of overseeding already, which they kind of have to from an economic standpoint. We've talked about that before. They always go a lot earlier than we would ever recommend a homeowner to do it, just because of the size and the scope that they have to. And now all of a sudden the weather's really nice. People are going to want to play golf, and they can't afford to lose that revenue in the first week or two of October when everybody's clamoring to get back out there on the golf course. They want to be ready for that.
And so how do you manage it in a football stadium where you got to play every Saturday? Do you just have to wait for those away games and plan it just right?
We do. We actually have started after our game on September 7th. We put out rye seed after that game, and we're going to put out more rye seed tonight. So, again, we're kind of like a golf course where we have breaks and windows, and it's the calendar is really not ready for ryegrass, but we have a break and we got to take advantage of that. So I've always been known as one to get an early jump on rye seed on the field, and during a football season it's a very tricky situation where you can't do a traditional scalping of a field. You know, we don't have time to recover from that. So we just let the Bermuda keep growing. But we'll poke holes in the field with the machine after the game, and hopefully that seed kind of gets down into a hole and stays moist. And that way we don't really have to scalp the Bermuda grass, and we can get some rye established in that Bermuda grass.
You know, and that's a good point, because, you know, the new thinking is – to not scalp real hard anyway, you know, like we did when we were growing. You took it down to the dirt. I mean, it was like dirt when you were done, and then you seeded, and now it's, you know, it's more acceptable to just mow it short enough that you can get the seed down through the canopy of the grass and make contact with the soil. And we also used to have that opportunity, and a lot of people dethatched, and they're kind of telling people to probably not, that's probably not a good practice to do in the fall. That should wait till your spring, summer, you know, so the Bermuda can recover after you've dethatched. So, you know, obviously there's a great example of not scalping hard and having a successful ryegrass lawn. You can do the same thing at your home. Is you want to start mowing it shorter. What I would recommend people do is take the next couple weeks and start lowering your mowing height so that you're not stuck with, you know, 16 bags of grass clippings and all of that at one time, you know, and ease into it, and then you'll be ready to seed it.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. If you'd like to join the conversation or ask a landscape, plant, garden question. In our transition time, you've got rye and Bermuda at the same time. How long does that take if it was undisturbed? You plant your rye, you stay off of it, your lawn. How long does that take for the rye to come up and get a good coverage?
Well, 3.5 days after that seed we put out after our second football game, I had quarter-inch long green hairs coming out of that seed. So now it's warm and I'm running a lot of water, so it's like ideal conditions to germinate the seed. but then it's probably a little bit warm for that ryegrass to thrive. But I have the ability to buy fungicide treated seeds, so that kind of helps prevent it from some disease that can happen when you're trying to establish it in warm weather. So, but when a homeowner would typically seed in the middle of October, depending on the weather, you're looking at a week and a half, 2 weeks.
Yeah, usually if you do it by October 15th, which has always been the magic day for me for homeowners, so just if you want to pick a day, 15th October, you should have a lawn that's been mowed and trick-or-treaters can walk across it on Halloween night. So, you know, two weeks, it's up and probably had its first mowing.
I've seen a lot of commercials in recent years on seed technology, and you know, you see them, they've got the blue coat that goes over the seed. And have you experimented with any of that?
Well, I'm very happy with the seed product that we get. It's the company up in Oregon that we work with is Seed Research, you know, I've been fortunate to make a couple trips up there, and that's just a fascinating process that goes on up there in Oregon growing all the rye seed. And I learned so much on those trips. And, you know, the breeding that goes on, and ryegrasses these days are just so heat tolerant, so drought tolerant, so much stronger than the ryegrasses that I started using when I first started out. So it's really kind of fascinating. I think it's a fascinating subject. I just love those trips to Oregon and just see that whole process that's going on up there.
You know, many, many, many years ago when I first got in the business, so this would have been in the, you know, 70s, we and perennial blended ryegrasses were kind of a luxury. You know, most people used annual ryegrass if they did any overseeding at all. And Northrop King had a seed called Medalist. And it was coated. So way back then, they were doing coated seed, you know. So and it's now kind of come full circle that, you know, they're doing that. So that's been going on a while. But that was, you know, very few people could afford Medalists. You know, it was just, you know, I think we sold 2 bags a year or something like that. You know, it was a luxury to buy that, and as opposed to everybody bought the cheap old annual ryegrass seed, which nobody buys anymore, hardly. You know, it's hard to mow and wet and thick and gooey and stains everything. So buy a good perennial blend, a blend of perennial ryegrass seed, and you should have good success. There's lots of them out there, and they're all pretty good from a homeowner standpoint.
What kind of coverage do I need if I've got, you know, how many pounds per 100 square feet of seed do I need for a good, thick green rye?
Well, I'm sure it varies. You know, I know golf courses do a different rate. A homeowner probably, you know, a pound and a half. So about 10 to 15 pounds per 1,000 square feet has always been, you know, very adequate. You can go heavier than that. But if you go too heavy, then you can get into some of the disease problems.
Yeah, we put out 15 pounds per 1,000 after that first game. But it's a different situation where I'm not getting 100% of that seed germinated. There's some that's sitting on the surface that I'm picking up with my mower. There's some that's getting damaged by the next football game before it really has a chance to take root. So that's why we keep kind of spoon feeding that rye after every game. So the exact percentage of germination at the end of the year, it's really hard to calculate that. That's one of the problems with overseeding during a season.
Well, I think we've got a first-of-a-kind caller on the line, if I understand the screen right. We've got Gene and El Mirage, and he needs tips for his Little League field.
Oh, cool.
Gene, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi. Good morning, everyone. This is Gene Felker. I'm with El Mirage Little League, and I'm just seeking some tips, maybe from Brian. We're going to overseed, and I'm not quite sure where to get some good seed, and if he had any methods on helping round up some volunteers with his years of experience getting these kids the help, if he has any tips to help getting our field ready now for springtime.
Well, how old are these little leaguers?
from 8 to 12.
Well, you got a good volunteer base right there.
That sounds like you got a lot of, yeah. When I was 8 to 12, I would have been happy to work on the fields. That's just me. But that's an interesting question, Gene. You know, we get our seed at from Ewing Irrigation. They have a lot of different varieties, a lot of different like a stuff that's for a homeowner, all the way to the professionals. So,
you had mentioned Ewing as a supplier. Is that where you get your seed as
yeah.
well?
Yeah, they have an agreement with Seed Research up in Oregon, and so you know we buy a higher end seed from them, but they also sell seed that's a little bit cheaper that a homeowner would be very happy with.
And they've got a location on Bell, just east of Grand. It's pretty close to El Mirage.
Yeah, yeah. They have a location just a mile from my stadium where I do most of my business. But, yeah, you know, Little League fields are kind of it's nice that people like yourself want the fields to look nice at for kids at a young age. You know, I really enjoy the fact that whether it's parents or Little League coaches or high school coaches, it seems like people these days want their kids to play on the best fields possible.
Well, big difference than when we were playing. I mean, yeah. It was...
when you talk about differences...
I mean, there wasn't... They didn't overseed. There was, you know, you got what you got. Flood irrigation every 2 weeks. And by the end of the season, you were playing on dirt. And hopefully you got most of the rocks up.
Yeah. Vaughn Payne from East Valley Floors texted and he said, you know, hearing this conversation made me think about my high school football days. Said October, the fields virtually had no grass, but the worst was playing in St. John's. They converted the rodeo arena to a football field with about 4 inches of snow that they didn't even clear. They just painted on top of the snow red stripes for your boundaries.
That sounds pretty rough.
That's pretty rough.
A little different.
It's home field advantage.